Welcome to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I am Latisha. This week's episode is very special to me. It marks 1 year since I've had my laparoscopic procedure, which told me whether I had endometriosis. It's been a long journey to come to this place. And this time last year, well, let's just say I was really, really, really nervous about the whole procedure. It's just something about someone being in your personal space. But more than that, they are going inside of you, inside of your uterus, and all of that. That is very, very sacred. Who goes in someone's uterus? Is a very personal and private space, and anything can happen, let's be honest. If they make a mistake, that could cause lifetime repercussions, as in maybe they ended up causing problems where maybe you're not able to have a baby. That would really be a bummer and disappointing. But it's so much more than that. Surgery is something that is so, for me anyway, surgery is something that is a big deal. Yes, it is, you know, yes, they do go into your belly button and all of that, but still, and then they cut you on the sides, but still, it's just so personal to have someone in there where you're in the space that if you're pregnant, that's your baby. I mean, that's something sacred. I mean, that would be just like someone going in your personal, private space. Like, it's just personal. And, well, I am someone who has not had a surgery before. Like that. So, it was very, very scary to me. I had read all about laparoscopic procedures years ago. Still didn't make me feel any better. So it was a very stressful and scary day. I can't believe it's been a whole year. Just thinking back to, dang, what it was like a year ago. Honestly, by the time this airs, then this time last year, I will already have left the hospital because my surgery was like first thing in the morning. So I'd already have left the hospital. And just would have been on my way to, actually I didn't get to go straight home because I had to go pick up the pain medicines just in case. So then I got to go home. I remember wanting to have a salad. Oh, I love these salads. I'm gonna have a salad post-op, so I had that. And just that, you know, just came home, relaxed, laid down, had to tell people, check on me, make sure things went well. It was just a very interesting experience. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, as I always am. I was really, really nervous that day, had to wake up super early to get checked in. I think I had to be at the hospital at 6:15 maybe? Something like that. It was really, really early. And because you've got to get checked in, they've got to get you set and all of that. But I remember my outfit. I remember exactly everything about that day. So I remember it was still, honestly, when I left home, of course, you got to get a ride because they're going to put you to sleep. So you have to have a ride. I remember my ride coming to get me. I remember it was still dark outside. The sun hadn't even come up yet. So I remember that I got to see a beautiful sunrise that morning. I remember taking pictures and just everything I wore. They said, wear something comfortable. I wore this loose gray shirt. And I wore some gray, black, white, kind of like palazzo pants that are real loose. And then I had some black tennis shoes on as we were going to the hospital. Otherwise, that outfit would have been really cute with some sandals, but you know, we're going to the hospital, so we have to wear shoes and socks. So, you know, check-in was real easy, all of that. So, you know, we go to that, getting checked in. Then they tell you where to go for pre-op. You go into pre-op, and you know, they do all those things that they do to get you pre-op. You've got to change urine sample to see if you're pregnant. Then they check vitals, like blood pressure, pulse, check in your oxygen saturation. Then comes the fun part, not really, but you know, getting the IV. I don't know about some of you, but I have small veins, so I am a hard stick when it comes to taking blood, putting an IV. Not at this hospital, but at a different hospital, I went to ER last year. They stuck me 4 times and could not get an IV in, blew a vein. It was just horrible. So having an IV put in or taking blood is not my favorite thing to do, but I have gotten so much better. And thankfully, the hospital that I had my surgery and go to, thank goodness, have been really good about getting my IVs in when I needed them and taking my blood. So very thankful for that. That's a stressor as well. You know, it's stressful when you've got to get poked several times, or it's stressful for me. But one of the things, you know, the doctor comes and talks to you and all this. But one of the things that I remember most, not necessarily most, but stands out to me, is here I am on, you know, I'm in pre-op in the room. I already have my IV in. I'm already hooked up. Basically, the doctor just comes in and talks to you briefly. They go right before they wheel you in to the OR. So I remember being there and all of that stuff. And the doctor comes in. And basically, you know, we go over some things. And we talk about what the, you know, the surgery and all this. And like, I was given some misinformation. When they scheduled my exam, I have fibroids. When they scheduled the exam, the lady told me that, sure, the doctor could take your fibroids out as well. You know, she's already going to be in your uterus, so might as well take the fibroids out then. All that, so that's what I was told. So I've been thinking for the last three and a half weeks that I'm getting my fibroids taken out. So I mentioned something to the doctor, and the doctor, like, flips out. And is like, we're not doing fibroids. I don't take fibroids out. Just real nasty and all this. I was like, if you want fibroids out, then you need to find another doctor and this, that. Just is like real nasty and all this stuff. I'm like, well, that's what your scheduler said. And basically she's like, my scheduler's wrong. She doesn't know what she's talking about. So you mean to tell me you've got someone who works for you that does not know the procedure and what's going on? That seems very odd to me, but okay. You know, okay. So basically, right before I go into surgery, I end up having to have a conversation with my doctor where she ends up being nasty. I feel like having a funky little attitude and just being a total, we'll go with witch. How about that? So she's talking about she's not taking out the fibroids. If you want to have the fibroids taken out, you can go to another doctor. And then talks to, and then wants to say, well, if you want your fibroids taken out, maybe we shouldn't do surgery this day. Nah, lady. Okay, we got prepped and planned for this surgery. We're going to have it. I'm already hooked up to the IV. I've gotten up early. I've gotten the rides. I've gone through all of this stuff. I have waited years and have gone through all this. So for you need to get, it's like, honestly, you need to get out of your little feelings that will hurt, okay? And get with the program. Then, so she was pissed off about that. Then she's also pissed because I told her I don't want an IUD, okay? Let me put it to you this way. We're not doing birth control. That includes an IUD. Tried to get an IUD years ago from one of your colleagues who claimed she was the best. Obviously, she sucked. She could not get my IUD in. Honestly, she wanted to schedule surgery to get an IUD in. Let's think about that for a minute. So, you want to have me go to surgery. You want to have me do pre-op. Because I got to go through all the pre-op blood work and all the other stuff that I had to go through to have surgery this time. You want to put an IV in me, put me to sleep, put me in OR just to put an IUD in, something you're supposed to be able to do in the doctor's office. Remember, you're an expert. This is your job. You've done this many times. That's what you tell me. And now you want to send me to the hospital to do it. So let's see. First of all, that's more money that you've got to pay. So basically, by the time, and mind you, when this happened, previously, not with this surgery, but previously when she wants to send me to surgery for the IUD, she couldn't get it, and that was end of December. So mind you, surgery would not be until January, so I'd have to pay out of pocket for it. Because January, you're deductible and everything starts over. So you want me to pay money for a surgery, for an IUD, for something you can't get in because you're not as good a doctor or as good at putting IUDs in as you claim to be or say that you are. That's ridiculous. So no, I'm not getting an IUD. I tried to get it one time. It did not work. It was very painful. And not doing it again. I don't care if I'm asleep. I don't care. Regardless, not getting it. Not going to do it. So I have to go into surgery with the lady who's pissed off about the lady said that I'm not getting fibroids. Mentioned you could do surgery mentioned you could have surgery some other time, and is mad about an IUD. So in case surgery is not stressful enough, and you have your doctor basically throwing a temper tantrum. Obviously, you know, if I wouldn't have been hooked up to the IV and all that stuff, I would have, and I already psyched for surgery, I would have just walked away and walked off the table and stuff. That's one reason I switched gynecologists, is just she was unprofessional, honestly, unprofessional conduct, and it's just, like, it's so ridiculous. So, you know, you are there for the patient. It's all about the patient. I don't care how you feel personally, all of that pushes aside. You're there to help the patient. I don't care if you're mad they don't want an IUD. I don't care whatever it is. You are supposed to put your feelings aside and go in and do the surgery. So, you know, my surgery thankfully did go well. I don't know how long exactly it took me, but I don't think it took long for me to wake up. Maybe less than an hour. I'm not sure. I normally don't sleep too long after surgery. I've had procedures and all of that, and when they put me to sleep, it hasn't taken me long to wake up. Maybe an hour or so, something like that. Sometimes sooner, sometimes, you know, maybe it is right at the hour. So I'm just thankful that she removed all of the endometriosis that was there at the time, well, except for she couldn't remove what was on the bowel because she's not a bowel specialist and you don't want her messing around with the bowel. But other than that, she was able to remove it in all of the different places that it was. And surgery went well. Lily did not have complications after. You know, you're sore. That's normal. I feel like the hardest thing, I just feel like one of the hardest things post-op for me personally was I ended up sleeping on the couch. because first of all, it's downstairs, so I didn't want to have to go upstairs because going upstairs kind of hurt my tummy. So I was downstairs, and the hardest thing to me, honestly, was getting up. My stomach was kind of turned on, but I just remember always being like, it is so hard to get up from the couch and all that. And then the other thing was that I had a heck of a time falling asleep. Falling asleep was like one of the worst things because I could not get comfortable. Because it's like you don't want to lay. And it was just hard to get comfortable. I mean, part of it was just, you know, post-op, all of that. Part of it was being on the couch. Part of it's your nerves. Part of it's just like being uncomfortable in general. So that was the hardest thing, was like getting up and then just trying to sleep. But other than that, then things went well. I don't remember having a lot of pain like they claim that you might. Personally, for me, it was more like, yes, I had pain, but it was more kind of like cramps, per se. So it was crampy. Which is, you know, I've had cramps before, so cramps is not that big a deal. It's not like excruciating pain that, like, I expected them to have, but it was just definitely different. It was not as the whole procedure, and like, you talk to people and they say, oh, it's bad, it's bad. The whole procedure was not as bad or as scary as I thought it would be. You know, you talk to people and they say, you know, that it was bad for them, but every person's different. That's really how it was. It's like everything's different. Like, I honestly really didn't take pain medicine because the pain was not that bad that I needed the medicine. So I was happy about that. I didn't take the medicine. I had the pain medicine, but I didn't take it. I think the thing I was worried about most, which is kind of funny, is I was a little worried about what did my scar look like, mainly my belly button. They went in there. I'm like, what does it look like? Just remember my belly button, but you couldn't really see it, but like it was just like eh. And then I remember I had glue over the stitches that are going to dissolve on the side, because I have like little incisions, one on each side where they put it in. And so I just have like basically an incision in my belly button, which I really cannot see, honestly. Then I have two on my side. But overall, it was really not as bad as I was expecting it to be. So that was how that was, but honestly, I felt like, as scared as I was to have the surgery, I needed the surgery to get answers. I did not have answers. I would always be stuck in the same place that I was before. So I needed to do that to figure out what was wrong with me, as well as figure out what was going on there with my body. Like, they thought that it might be endometriosis, but to finally have the surgery to find out if it was, that's just life-changing. It's so hard, frustrating to go and just not exactly know what you have, be told this is what we think you have, and then they always want to just give you birth control pills for it. They don't ever really want to fix the problem and or give you other options. Like, if you're not sure if it's endometriosis or not, then you may not know what other options there are. But once it is endometriosis, then maybe, you know, you do have some other options. Maybe you can try, you know, I'd like to try things naturally. Some doctors, I guess I should say, don't really like you to try things naturally. Herbs, vitamins, all that. My primary care doctor, you know, I've talked to her about trying to try things, you know, try herbs and things like that. She's on board with it. The OBGYN was not, basically kind of laughed about herbal and treatments, talking about the only treatment is medication and this and that, and it's going to come back because I don't want to take medication, and it's going to be worse, and I'm going to have a hysterectomy and just all of this stuff. Well, having a hysterectomy does not cure endometriosis. So since I have endometriosis on my bowel, I could have a hysterectomy and still technically have endometriosis. So there you go. That's something to think about. Now, if you are going to have surgery, there are people, doctors, who are specialists. They are endometriosis specialists. Wish I would have known that prior to having my surgery, but you live and you learn. This is their job. Their job is basically to endometriosis. You want to make sure that when they do, you know, you want to go talk to them and do all of that. There may not be any in your area. Honestly, where I live, there are not any endometriosis doctors in my area that's their specialty. They have regular OBGYNs, and they say they do endometriosis, but a specific endometriosis specialist, they don't have one. The closest one to me, they have one. The closest one, I guess, would be about 3 hours. We've got one 3 hours away, and then they have one 4.5 hours away. So they are a little bit of a drive. They're not, honestly, let me put it to you this way. They're not even in my state. So I have to go to the state next to me to go to the endometriosis specialist. And they have locations in 2 of their cities. And most of, and their cities are close together. So that may be the case for you. I know I didn't I didn't even know or think anything about there's a specific doctor for endometriosis. I should have. You know, maybe they would have taken out the fibroids. I don't know. It depends, I guess, on how the doctor feels or what's going on. But another thing is, it depends on how, you know, also they're supposed to let you know how bad your endometriosis is. And I talked previously about it does not tell me what stage it is. It tells me that I have endometriosis and tell me what stage. So, based on what it says, then I'm assuming that I have stage 4 because it said I had multiple areas of endometriosis. We don't know how deep it is, but I had multiple, and it's like it's on my bowel, it's different places. It was just all, you know, I had it kind of like lots of different places. It's just kind of, it was all over. So they removed it. They like actually removed it and cut it out. And it's just like, honestly, the only thing I liked about the doctor was she gave me the operative report, so I knew exactly what went on during surgery. So it tells me, you know, what they look like, and, you know, where it was, and just all of that. So sometimes with endometriosis, your uterus can be have lesions and may not be mobile. So I know on mine it says my uterus was found to be freely mobile. So I did not have any of those adhesions. Sometimes you get adhesions with the ovaries. Did not have any of that. Talked about my fibroid in here that they did not want to remove. And that, you know, they check like everything. Like they check to see what was going on with the different things. I had endometriosis on the report. They call them lesions, endometriosis lesions. I had them on the pelvic sidewall. I had them in the urosacral ligaments. I just had them like everywhere. So that's just, I mean, it's like you want them to get all of it, and based on the report, sounds like they did. We don't, you know, of course, you don't know how fast they grow back, or, you know, some women, it says it takes them 5 years, maybe they grow back. Sometimes 5 years, I guess, is the average, but some women, you know, it's a lot sooner. You just never know. So, you may, and just because, just your stage, you know, I could be a stage 4, but maybe, you know, I don't have that much pain. Or you could be a stage 1 and have severe pain. So, it's just very, it just depends on your body and how it goes. But one of the things is, it's nice to know, you know, that my uterus at that time, you know, is really mobile. They didn't have a lot of lesions. You know, I had, it seems like there was endometriosis lesions, like a lot of different places, which, you know, if, honestly, it's probably been there a while, so that is probably why it's in so many places. That's just how it is. So, if you mean to, okay, so read your operative report. I think you all need your operative report. Is it kind of weird to read it? Yeah, it's kind of weird to know that you were near my ovary, and my sidewall was graspers and monpolar scissors. That's a little scary, you know, just to know that that's where you were at. So, I mean, when I talked about personal earlier, they're all in there. They're seeing uterus, your fallopian tubes. I mean, look, they are taking endometriosis lesions out from my pelvic sidewall, which is lateral to my left ovary, along the sidewall. Lateral. Right by the ovary. That's kind of scary and personal. We're by my ovary. And honestly, my left ovary is where they said that I had the cyst that sent me to the hospital last year, which is what led me to actually have a laparoscopic procedure to see if I had endometriosis. So, I find it interesting that they are removing some right there by it, lateral to it from the pelvic sidewall, and makes me wonder if the cyst was irritating the pelvic sidewall, and the sidewall was irritating the cyst, and that's what caused my severe pain that sent me to ER last year, which was a horrible experience. If that was all caused by endometriosis right there. It's just comforting, I guess, to know that I officially have a diagnosis after all these years. It was good to face my fears. I really didn't want to have the surgery. Like I said, I was scared about it, had concerns. But overall, things went really, really well. What else can I share with you guys? Oh, about they will. Oh, I don't know if everyone does, but my surgeon did end up giving me. I have pictures of after the surgery, which is kind of cool. They'll give you, you know, information on discharge, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and just all of that. They do send you home with pain medication. Like I said, I did not take any pain medication. I didn't even take Aleve, Tylenol, anything like that. So I did not have any pain medicine since I left the hospital. They gave me pain medicine through the IV. I don't have anything to do with it. They, you know, do that while you sleep. So it says that there, but in terms of me physically taking something home, I did not take any pain medication. So that, you know, not everyone can do that, and that's fine. I'm someone who does not like to take a lot of medication anyway. And so I just, you know, it just wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And I felt like I could take the pain, so I did not take any pain medication, which I'm really proud about. To say that I didn't have to take pain medication after having the surgery. But one of the things that really, really, really helped me was I continued to move. They told me that I'm going to try to move at least 10, 15 minutes every day. Well, this was August, so I want to say April maybe of the year, of last year, I had started trying to walk more. So exercise was something, you know, I was trying to walk more and do this and do that. So basically, I would just get my walks in. Now, some days, you know, like I was only probably able to do 10, 15 minutes the first, you know, so many days and all of that. But, you know, I was able to increase my activity over time. You know, like maybe I'd be able to walk 20, 30 minutes. But that's the main thing after you have that surgery. You need to get up and move. Yes, I talked about it's hard to get up. It's hard to sleep. It's hard to do that. But you've got to keep your body moving. I think that's really what helped me was moving. You know, drink a lot of fluids, water. I drank a lot of tea. I ate salads. I ate whatever I could, you know, that would make me feel good. One of the things that was the hardest was you cannot lift over a gallon of milk for 2 weeks. So, ladies, you really can't do anything for 2 weeks. So, no heavy lifting. A gallon of milk. How light is a gallon of milk? So, you can't lift over, you cannot do any lifting for 2 weeks. Okay? So, ladies, purse. The purse is over a gallon of milk. My purse is over a gallon of milk. So purse, just anything. Really, I remember, honestly, not lifting anything. Basically, like, the only things I'd be holding, lifting, would be my cup for tea, my water bottle, my bowl for dinner, or my salad, or whatever it is, the dishes. So thing is really, really light. I did some reading, so books, like a book. Honestly, I couldn't do two books, but one book. So that is the hardest thing, ladies. No lifting for 2 weeks, including your purse, which had to be one of the weirdest things to have to, if you go somewhere, you have to take less things of your purse. So basically, you just have to take, what do you need? Your wallet, your keys, your phone. So basically, dealing with that, that was quite an experience. And then, for the most part, you know, as long as you can stand it, you have a regular diet. You know, you have to have someone stay with you, like I said, the first night, just to make sure you're okay. Depending on what kind of medication they give you, they talk to you about that. You're not going to have a bowel movement right away. What is it? Like a couple days, I think it is. I think they say you don't have a bowel. If you haven't had one for 3 days after, or you're uncomfortable, then they tell you, you know, to do a enema, prune juice, Metamucil, something with suppository, something like that. But you're not going to have a BM right away. Tell you they could have some shoulder pains based on the gas that they pumped into you. So you have some shoulder discomfort, which is part of the reason why it's hard to sleep. So no tampons, no sex, anything for at least a week. Let's see what else. Then they tell you that you basically what medicine they gave you. They talk about all of that, the medicine they gave you and the ER, I mean, sorry, in the OR that they gave you, or in recovery. They talk about, you can't, that day, they tell you not to make any important decisions or sign legal papers the first 24 hours after your surgery, because you still might be under the influence of the anesthesia. So, it tells you all of that. You could be nauseous. I didn't have any nausea, personally. Of course, do not drink alcohol with your pain medicine. And just, you know, take it easy. I know one of the things that I'm saying is, like, just rest. Take it easy. Don't try to do a lot of things. And honestly, I did. You know, I was like, I took it easy. I rested. It was downtime. Honestly, it was kind of nice to relax and just be able to get that recovery time and not really have to do much. Because in our lives, sometimes I know we are so busy, so it was nice to just be able to relax and not have to be going this place and that place. And I took time off work and just. It was just nice to just be able to relax and recover without the stress of everyday life of going to the store a billion times or running errands or doing all of that. Basically, I stayed home. I would go to the store occasionally, like if I needed something. But honestly, what I did was I tried to get the things I would need that I needed ahead of time at the store. Because I didn't know how I'd feel post-op, and I might not feel like going to the store. So I tried to get stuff that I liked to eat prior to surgery. I wore comfy clothes. Like, I would wear sweatpants around the house and out. Loose comfy shirts. Just, like, real relaxing clothes. This was real laid back. I would do some reading. If I wanted to take a nap, I'd take a nap. Just real laid back. Now, how has surgery helped me? So some women, well, let me talk about this again. Some women, they don't have a normal, from what I've read, some women don't have a period right away after a laparoscopic procedure. It might take a few months for it to come back. Not this girl. I had my period right on the dot, same thing, like clockwork, the next month. So September, my period came just like it did in August. I was on my period for surgery, and they said it did not make a difference. My flow, I noticed, was a little lighter 4 minutes after surgery. But in September, October, November, December, it was heavy, heavy, heavy. I remember I had 2 periods in, I want to say, November? October, November, I had 2 periods. That was horrible. What else? Okay, so for me personally, still had my periods. My periods were worse post-op. Honestly, I think it was because a couple reasons personally for me. One, I had a procedure probably when I was on my period, I had my surgery when I was on my period, and I wasn't on birth control because I had just gotten off birth control. So getting off birth control was probably one thing. I had just gotten off birth control in June. So it was probably one thing. And secondly, my insides, I feel like, were kind of raw or whatever from surgery, were probably still healing. And then I had my period, so I feel like that kind of irritated it. So my period was like real heavy, and it was like real crampy, and it's like, it was just horrible. It was a horrible period. So that continued on for like until January. But some women don't get their period back right away, so that's one of the things. So for me, it made my periods worse. In January, they kind of leveled off in terms of they weren't as painful, weren't as heavy. Now my periods have kind of leveled off again, but sometimes they fluctuate like in days. Like maybe some months maybe I'll have a 4-day period, some months maybe it'll be 5, maybe I'll have a lot of discharge before or discharge after. It just depends. So one of the biggest things I noticed was my period kind of fluctuating, and they just tell you that your period just changes over time. So that's one of the things I've noticed with periods. Other thing, so I'm still having painful periods sometimes, not as bad. Oh, is it was post-op. So maybe I'll get cramps. I still get cramps sometimes, not as intensely in different things as before. Not like they send me to the ER. But overall, feeling better, doing well. Wondering, you know, there's some days you wonder if it's coming back. Intercourse isn't painful like it was before. Before it was very, very painful. Not as painful anymore. Surgery, I feel like, helped that. I just feel like the biggest thing, my biggest takeaway, honestly, for me from surgery was found out I have endometriosis. And it made me realize, based on treatment, just all that I had been through and getting that, I needed to speak up, which is one reason that this podcast was born. I did do a mini intro, I guess you could say, to the show prior to my surgery, but it was like a month out after I had healed, honestly, that I started recording on a regular basis. So we'll be doing a special 1-year podcast show in September. But I feel like it's just made me realize you have to advocate for your health. So this surgery is part of my journey. It is part of what makes me want to do the podcast, makes me want to advocate for women. Also a speaker. I think I've mentioned that. I'm a speaker. I speak about advocating for yourself. The surgery just lets me know, you know, that you do. You have to advocate for yourself. You're stronger than your fears. It's not as scary as you think it is. And you can handle anything that life throws at you. That is what surgery has taught me. I just cannot believe it's been 1 year. It just blows my mind to think of how far I've come. Pain-wise, you know, pain, really don't have pain much. Just sometimes, like I said, I still have cramps on the period. And different things like that. So my period has probably been the thing that has changed the most post-op. Other than that, not really having issues. Still not on birth control. Although the doctor keeps mentioning something about it. Even though I switched doctors, the new doctor mentioned something about it. I am just always researching, learning about endometriosis, trying to find ways and new things to manage pain if it comes back. Definitely plan on making an appointment with one of the endometriosis specialists just to see if they have any suggestions on natural remedies, just different things like that, and some other questions I want to ask them. So that's something I plan on doing. So I guess at some point I'll be making a road trip to see an endometriosis specialist. One thing I want to tell you, if you are diagnosed with endometriosis, it can be, I know at first when they tell you, ladies, you might be a little like taken back, or you may not know exactly what it is, or maybe you've been dealing with it for a long time like I have and you know exactly what it is. Regardless, I want you to research. Google has a lot of information. Facebook, Instagram, they have groups for women with endometriosis. Find the group, follow people, do all of that. Know, you know, that you are not alone. Find the community. You are part of the Endo Sisters. We're Endo Warriors. Endo does not define you. It's just one part of you. Having endometriosis is not always a fun time. There will be times you don't feel well. You will feel like crap, basically. You know, maybe it's your time of the month. Your period is really, really bad. You're having really, really bad cramps. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're not sleeping well. Maybe you're just in pain. You know, sometimes you have pain. I know I do sometimes. If you have pain when you're ovulating, that's no fun. And no one can see your pain. It's what they call an invisible disease. No one can see endometriosis. They can't see inside. So we look okay. We may not feel okay, and they may not know that our bodies are giving us a heck of a time, but they know that we look okay. So all I'm trying to tell you is, have grace with yourself, your body. There are days you may not be able to get to do what you want to do. You might be in pain. That's fine. That is fine. Just don't. We all have those days. If you need to rest and have a rest day, have a rest day. We don't have to do everything. We don't have to be on the go all the time. That's one of the, I guess that's one of the biggest things that surgery has taught me, I guess we could say, is it's okay to slow down. It's okay to not feel well. It's okay not to want to do something. I feel like we're always feel like we have to do something, be going somewhere, doing something, this, that, and the other, and we don't really want people to know why and all of this. I'm to the point now, you know what, I have endometriosis with anybody, men, you know, women, I don't care. I will talk about it freely, we can have a discussion. I've posted about it on social media, I mean, I talk about it on here, I've talked about it on stage. Honestly, I will talk about it anywhere, I will talk about it on the radio, I'll talk about it on TV, you know, talking about it on the internet, let's go. We can have a conversation, we need to get this out. It affects 1 in 10 women. We need to get it taken care of. We need it discussed. We need to discuss it more. We need treatment better than birth control. We need a cure. We need to figure out why are women getting this? What causes it? we need to speak up, advocate for ourselves. This is not the time to be silent. That is what surgery has taught me, to speak up and use my voice. I had to advocate to get this doctor's appointment, to even get the surgery. I had to advocate for the doctor to still do my surgery that day because she was pissed off. Advocate, advocate, advocate. Speak up. Use your voice. That is what I have learned. Use your voice. And it has taught me I need to speak out and use my voice to help other women. You are an example. Other women see you. I posted something online the other day, and one of my followers reached out and told me that they have endometriosis too. You never know who is watching or listening that has the same thing that you have. You don't know how you are helping someone else speak up. Maybe they're afraid. They feel like they're all alone. They don't have the courage. You sharing your story might be helping them. Is it uncomfortable to share personal things about yourself? Of course it is. Do we all like sharing personal things about ourselves? Not really, but it has to be bigger than you. It has to be for the good. I am a private person, but I will share about endometriosis because it needs to be said. I want to help other people. I want to use my voice for good. I want to use my platform for good. That is the reason I have this podcast. This podcast is not for me. It is to educate women about endometriosis. It has nothing to do with me. It is all about educating women with endometriosis, getting the word out. That is what this podcast is for. This podcast is for me to educate women to speak up and to find out about endometriosis and share endometriosis tips, share information, all of that. It is not for me to just have a podcast. It is for me to inform and help women. That is what I feel like my calling has been to do with having endometriosis, is to speak up and speak out and help other women. So, with that being said, I am happy that I've made it to 1 year post-op. It's been a great 1 year. Definitely had more great things and good experiences than bad experiences. Still continuing on this endo journey that I have been on for over 15 years, but at least I have a diagnosis. I know what to do. I am a proud endo sister and endo warrior. Endometriosis does not define me. It's just one part of me, and it's something that I have embraced and feel like it has led me to new opportunities, new experiences, and to find out new things about myself. And I appreciate and love you guys for going on this journey with me. And I just can't wait to talk more things endometriosis about with you guys. All about endometriosis. I just love talking about endometriosis and sharing knowledge, educating, educating, educating. Please educate yourself as well. And if you know, if there's something that you want me to talk about, as always, reach out to me. Leave me a message. We can have you on the show. You want to talk about your own journey? We would love to hear it. And, as always, our next episodes are every other Saturday. So the next episode will be Saturday, August 22nd at 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. That will be a special episode as well, as that will be our 25th episode. Can you guys believe it? 25 episodes. I can't believe it. 25 episodes. Wow. But then we've got our 1 year podcast celebration in September. I think Endometriosis Dream to Butterfly podcast, I think we are going to be celebrating all summer, honestly. We're going to be celebrating all summer with all the things that are going on. And I'm pretty sure that I have thanked you guys, but I will thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you for hitting over 1,000 views. That is just amazing to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was one of my goals, was to try to hit 1,000 views. I didn't know, honestly, I made that goal in July. Honestly, I hit that like the end of July. So thank you for helping to make one of my goals come true sooner. It teaches me just to keep working hard, keep pushing. I do all of this for you guys. Love you. Thank you for continuing to tune in. Topic ideas, suggestions, if you just want to reach out, let me know what you think about the show. Go ahead and leave me a comment. I would love to hear from you. So again, remember, next episode, Saturday, August 22nd, 12:45 p.m. Special show, 25th anniversary. I mean, 25th anniversary. 25th episode celebration. Yay! I'm so excited. So many milestones and so many things coming up. Again, thank you for being on this journey with me. And as always, please stay healthy, stay safe. And I thank you, all my listeners all across the globe. Please take care of yourself. Self-care is so important, especially with what's going on in the world right now. Sending you love and peace. Until next time, thank you. Have a great day.